Sunday, the church finishes up the Epiphany season as we do every year in hearing the account of our Lord's transfiguration. You know the story. Jesus takes the inner circle of his disciples up the mountain. Scripture says the fashion of Jesus' countenance was changed, and his raiment became white, and in the words of the King James Version, glistering. And then, as if planned, Moses and Elijah appear on the scene and begin a conversation with Jesus. Now, St. Peter, needless to say, was rather taken back by all of this. He was so impressed that he tried to enshrine the moment. He tried to freeze it in time. Master, it is good that we are here. Let us construct three booths, three tabernacles, three little shrines, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And then a cloud overshadowed the event, and a voice boomed out, "This is my beloved Son, my chosen." And after this, they looked around, and all but Jesus had disappeared. Now, when I was a seminarian, a visiting homiletics professor, a Methodist, said something I'll never forget. He said, the preacher should approach every sermon with the question, so what? If the sermon didn't answer the so what, then it really wasn't a sermon. It was sort of pious platitudes. And I'm sure we're all agreed the Transfiguration is a wonderful story. But so what? What are we supposed to make of all of this? A day trip to the mountains, dazzling attire, heavenly visitors, drowsy disciples, voices from the clouds, and a proposed construction scheme. So what? Well, I think that this story teaches us at least two very important spiritual truths. First of all, we have a mountain, a location, a place where ancient people traditionally gathered to pray. People used to gather on mountaintops because they thought the higher up they were from the ground, the closer they would be to God. Now, you and I are not going to pack our bags and move off to the Rocky Mountains in order to pray. But what we can learn from the story is that we need to go to higher ground. And for Christians, our Sunday worship is our higher ground. The Second Vatican II documents call the Mass the summit and the source of the Christian life. Now, so many people in our world are trying to reach up and grasp God, and they devise all sorts of weird and wonderful ways to do this. There's a shop at the corner of Texas Boulevard and College, and you can buy crystals to rub on yourself, and powders to cast spells, and amulets to wear, and music to buy to put you into a trance so that you can somehow contact the divine. Some people join strange cults like Scientology. And others end up following bizarre leaders like Jim Jones and David Koresh and our own Tony Lama. We might be tempted to laugh at crystals and laugh at people selling flowers in airports in orange robes. But behind that is a genuine longing, a deep desire to reach out and touch God. The only problem with this, as we heard in the first lesson today, that God is beyond human reach. People can do anything and everything to climb higher and higher. They can rub crystals and drink powders and chant and hum and do good works and take drugs and climb mountains, they won't be able to reach up to God by doing these things. God is available to anyone and everyone, not because we reach up to God, but rather because God in Christ reaches down to us. Sometimes, can I use the word asinine in church? Sometimes you hear the asinine analogy. Religion is like a mountain, and there are many different roads to God at the top. In fact, religion is not man's search for God, but God's search for man. God, not we human beings, makes the roads. They don't go up the mountain, they go down. And whatever we do, we cannot find God because he is not lost. We are the ones who are lost. And God reaches down and finds those who are lost in Jesus Christ. For Christians, then, the mountaintop is important, not because it literally means we're up there on some mountain, because knowing Jesus, who comes to us in word and sacrament and the church gathered, he is our mountaintop experience. Of course, saying that knowing God in Christ is a mountaintop experience is not saying that Christianity is all spiritual highs. It's not. The Christian mountaintop experience is but one side of the coin, and the Christian experience of the cross is the other. Those who ascend the mountain, those who live in God's will, know that the harsh realities of the valley lie below. That's the first thing that Jesus did after the transfiguration. He went down the mountain into the valley and he encountered a boy possessed by a demon. Which brings us to the second important truth that the transfiguration reveals to us. Namely, that the Christian life consists in more than Sunday worship. In the Gospel, St. Peter was so high on his mountaintop that he wanted to build shrines and somehow capture this experience for all time. Yet we know, you know, that the experiences in life that are the most significant cannot be bottled up and preserved. Deep experiences can be captured, can't be captured, they can only be cherished. So Jesus calls us to come down off the mountain and descend into the valley. And the valley is the world, the place where evil and poverty and longing and hurt and need flourish. The valley is where God wants us because that is our mission field. And our mountaintop experience in here on Sunday is meant to give us the strength and courage to work in the valley below. So the so what of the transfiguration is twofold. First, it teaches us that our adoration and worship of God is the most important thing that we do. You and I, God willing, will be worshiping God for eternity. So we practice now. It is absolutely essential that we ascend the mountain to Jesus in word and sacrament and in the church gathered. In St. Peter's words, it is good for us to be here. The second truth of the transfiguration is the why. We worship not to escape from the world, not to remain on the mountain and polish our shrines built for God, but rather so that we receive the spiritual nourishment and strength to go back down into the valley beyond the church doors. What is it we pray after communion? After thanking God for the gift of the body and blood of Christ, we pray, send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve. Jesus descended from the mountain, and so must we. And only in that way will we transfigure our world and bring others to God's most brilliant light.